Jesus Christ was the most unifying person in all of human history. And Jesus Christ is also the most polarizing person in history. The historical Jesus is controversial. The historical Christ is unpredictable. A sentimental Jesus is non-assertive. A congenial Jesus is always likable. The liberal Jesus is not a threat. The popular Jesus is always smiling, but the real Jesus demands a verdict. And I want to talk tonight about being offended at Christ. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, Isaiah prophesied that Christ would be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. That's what he said. The Pharisees hated him. The Sadducees hated him. The fundamentalists and the liberals, they all tried to get rid of him. He was a stone of stumbling. He was a rock of offense. A Simeon in Luke chapter 2 said that this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. He was a sign that would be spoken against. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." The historical Jesus is always controversial. And here in Luke chapter 7, I invite your attention tonight to notice the story about John Baptist and what he had to say to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 7, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please. We're going to start in verse 18. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. As you find that, stand to your feet. We'll read the word of God this evening. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 18. Now, Jesus has just resurrected a dead man. But notice what happens here in verse 18, Luke 7, verse 18. "And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" John Baptist sent word to Christ, "Are you the expected one, or should we be looking for another?" And when the men were come unto him, they said, "John Baptist hath sent us unto thee." And he said, "Are you the one that should come, or do we look for another?" And at the same hour, he cured many of infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind are seeing, lame are walking, deaf are hearing, lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, and the poor, to them the gospel is preached. And blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." Blessed shall not be offended in me. If we're having problems with that microphone, fellas, sign me up on this one. Whatever we got to do, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that you would open our hearts as we open your book. Lord, you would open our spirits tonight. And Lord, the crooked places could be made straight and offenses could be solved. With anticipation in Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Now, Jesus said, "Whoever, blessed is he who is not offended in me." That word offended comes from scandalizo, which means scandalized or stumbled. That word means to be tripped or to be trapped, to be angered or offended. So tonight, the question is, was John Baptist offended at Jesus? Jesus said, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." The Bible tells us that Christ didn't come to send peace, but he came to send a sword. The American Jesus is about personal peace and affluence, but the real Jesus is controversial. Jesus Christ, his birth drew a line in history. His death purchased redemption for mankind. His resurrection broke the power of the grave. His life brought division, and many stumbled because of him. Did John Baptist stumble on account of Jesus? I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of offense and being offended with Jesus. Now, I have four simple points. Number one, the unoffended are happy, but the offended are never happy. Read that out loud. The offended are unoffended are happy, but the unoffended are never happy. Say that one more time. The unoffended are happy, but the unoffended are never happy. would be quiet. Y'all try it. The unoffended. Hey, y'all got it. Y'all did a good job on that point right there. Now, that word blessed means happy. That's what it means. And the unoffended people find happiness in life, but offended people find happiness in nothing. Now, Jesus bragged on John Baptist. He said he was the greatest born among women. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. He had a unique childhood. He was spirit-filled the whole while. He had an undisputed call. He was the forerunner. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He prepared the way of the Lord. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He was a rugged character. But did this great man have a moment of weakness and doubt Christ? Now he sent to Jesus and he said, "Are you the expected one? Are you Messiah? Or should we look for another one?" This is a serious question. Now, some people believe that John was asking this question on the behalf of others, that he was trying to transfer their allegiance to Christ himself. Others believe that John was asking this for his own benefit. Either way, it's a very serious question. Are you Messiah, or should we look for another? Now, Jesus dealt tenderly with John. He didn't rebuke him for his unbelief. Instead, he gave him a beatitude. And he sent the word back, "Blessed, happy is he who is not offended in me." Now, human offenses are guaranteed. I mean, if you do anything, say anything, have anything, somebody's not going to like it. Now we have the cancel culture where if you don't agree with Facebook, they cut you off. We went from 400,000 post views a day to 50,000. I don't know whether that had anything to do with it or not. Most of our stuff is encouraging, but we do say some things that are true, and I guess that's offensive to some people. I like a Facebook post. Here's what it said. "If I've not offended you lately, be patient. I'll get to you shortly." People are easily offended. Have you noticed that? Everybody's mad at something or mad at somebody, and I want to tell you, offenses are coming. Life is not fair. Say that out loud. Life is not fair. It's not. Life is not easy. It's not pleasant. It's not favorable all the time. It's not all the time healthy. It's not free of suffering. Jesus said that Satan was a liar and a thief. And he said that he comes to kill and to destroy. The mission of Satan is destruction. The strategy of Satan is division. But the method of Satan is offense. Offense. And offense is the bait of Satan, because if you take that bait, you become bitter, you fall into a trap, you get offended, it will kill your spiritual life. You've got to be on defense against offense. Offenses are coming. People are going to neglect you. People are going to malign you. People are going to cut you off. People are going to make hand signals when you're driving, minding your own business. People are going to do stuff, and I'm just telling you, you've got to be on the defense against offense. When you collect a series of offenses, you lose your happiness. You know why? Because you're using all your energy to manage your pain. And you got nothing left to enjoy your benefits. When all your resources are going toward the when all the resources that could be going toward the abundant life are employed by dealing with offenses, you've got no time for your destiny because you're preoccupied with your history. And you're all the time looking back. Instead of looking forward, you're looking back. The purpose of memory is to replay your past. The purpose of memory is to replay your past, but the purpose of imagination is to preplay your future. When you're living in the prison of offense, you lose your ability to dream. And the prison of offense is a joyless place. You know, when suffering happens, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to get humble, or you're going to get bitter. And bitterness is the consequence of taking the bait of Satan and taking the offense to heart. Now look, maybe you got abused somewhere in life. Scores of people have. And I want to tell you, if you got abused, that's not your fault. But if you continue to regurgitate it over and over again, that is your fault. And somewhere along the line, you're going to have to cut the cord between you and your offender. There's a time to walk away from voluntary toxic relationships. Some churches are absolutely toxic. It's all negative. It's all what the other crowd's not doing. It's all just bad news. And can I just say something to you? People who have no life of their own always want to start drama in yours. I have many good friends, and I had a friend one time, I thought we were good friends, but he began to find fault with everything we were doing. Not a day went by, but what I'd get a text of a complaint about something. And you know, I was kind of at a bad point in my life anyhow, so I decided I'm walking away from this. It was a church that supported us handsomely, but I wrote a letter. And I said to him, you need to take your support and give it to somebody that you believe in, you have confidence in. I said, I'm uncomfortable with what we're doing. My pastor's comfortable with what we're doing. Obviously, you're not comfortable with what we're doing. So I said, you don't need this continual controversy, and frankly, neither do I. That was one of the best decisions I ever made, and that was a voluntary toxic relationship. I'm not talking about your husband when I talk about a toxic relationship. I'm talking about a voluntary toxic relationship. Now, forgiveness does not mean your offender was right. Forgiveness means you've got too much in front of you to obsess on what's behind you. I refuse to be incarcerated by someone else's offenses. And I'm coming out of my prison of offense. Forgiveness is not about alleviating your perpetrator of their responsibility. Forgiveness is about liberating the victim. And when you forgive, two prisoners are set free, and one of them is you. Ladies, life is too short to stay agitated all the time. Irritated, agitated, worked up, just all the time. Now look, I don't have to wait for my offender to ask for forgiveness. You might not ever ask for forgiveness, but I choose to let go of that debt voluntarily. I don't have to wait for people to come to themselves or to come to me and ask forgiveness. By the way, dead people are never going to ask your forgiveness, but that's irrelevant. I can forgive people whether they're alive or whether they're dead, and I will be proactive in choosing to release every debt. I'm not going to wait for people to pay me the money. They probably never will repay me the money that they stole, but it's way too expensive for me to lose my peace over somebody else's dishonesty. I'm choosing to let it go. And listen to me tonight. Human offenses, there are going to be many. That's one thing. But I want to tell you, being offended at God is quite another thing. And a lot of people are offended with Christ. Do you realize that you can get offended? You can get stumbled by the way God is managing affairs on planet Earth? I know a father, his child died. He got mad at God. He never one day after his child died, not one day did he honor God or reverence God or respect God or believe in God after that offense happened after his child died. Scores of people are upset with God. Why did my family member pass away? Why did I get cancer? Why did I lose my health? Why does God allow all this abuse to continue? Have you ever had any thoughts like this? I have. Why all this suffering? You begin to question God. You know, more people are deconverting from Christianity than are being converted to Christianity in these days. They're walking away from the faith. You know why? Because they complain about suffering and because of their sexual perversion. Y'all hear what I just said? But they're upset with the way God's managing stuff. They're upset with their lack of sanctification. I'm just telling you, all of this stuff can have an influence on us. We begin to question God and the goodness of God. I believe it's okay, Brother Ron, to ask God inquisitively, but we should be real careful about asking God accusatively. Now, life is full of disappointments. Let's be honest. Mishaps, illness, hurts, abuses, depression, offenses. It's mandatory to get on the right side of a fence. My wife and I were in Enniskillen, Northern Ireland. The IRA terrorists, back in the time of the Troubles, they set off a bomb in the town square of Enniskillen. I know that's a funny name, but that's where it happened. 11 people were killed by that terrorist bomb. Many were horribly disfigured, one of which was Jim Dixon. Jim Dixon was a Christian. I met this man. Half of his face was blown away. It was blown away, and they couldn't put it back. He's got like a crater on the side of his face. But Jim Dixon worked through his offense, worked through his tragedy. He came to peace. He's a happy Christian. He has no bitterness and no resentment. Can I just tell you that unoffended people are happy, but offended people are never happy. Second point, being offended is a choice. Being offended is a choice. Now, the offense is an event, but being offended is a decision. The offense is an event, but being offended is a condition, it's a decision. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Blessed is he that does not stumble, does not doubt on account of me. Now, John Baptist was a mighty voice. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of repentance. He was a strong, stern prophet. He was a proclaimer of truth. And I think that John, like all his disciples, had unmet expectations. How many would agree that Jesus was not acting like a Messiah in his earthly life? He wasn't acting like a Messiah. He didn't overthrow Caesar. He didn't deal with evildoers. He didn't restore the kingdom to Israel. And their political aspirations were dashed. The equivalent is Biden got elected. I mean, they were upset with what happened. And some of y'all might be upset with what happened. I'm just telling you, you just might be. Now, John Baptist was in prison for 1.5 years. He was in prison. Here's an outdoor guy who lived down by the river, who ate locust and wild honey, and he's in a dungeon somewhere for 1.5 years. You know why? Because he told Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Can you imagine an evangelical preacher in America confronting a governmental leader or a legislator and telling them that abortion is murder and sin against God? Can you imagine an evangelical preacher saying something like that to a governmental official? Well, John Baptist did, and it cost him his head ultimately. Now, let me tell you about Jesus. He didn't visit John Baptist while he was in prison. 1.5 years, he hadn't heard anything out of Jesus. Jesus came to set the prisoner free. How come I'm still sitting in jail? I want to tell you that Jesus didn't send John Baptist a get-out-of-jail-free card. He didn't send the Christian Law Association or the Hebrew Law Association over to help him out. Jesus didn't send him an ice cream cake with a file in it so he could saw through the prison bars and get out. There was nothing but silence. Absolutely nothing but silence. Now, can I just say something to you? That John was at a low point. He was at a low point. He had a lot of questions, but he had no answers. John the Baptist was a great man, but he was still a man. Whitfield said, the best of men are men at best. The best of men are men at best. I'm not criticizing the greatest born among women. All I'm saying is that John Baptist was suffering terribly. He sent his disciples to Christ and he said, ask him this. Are you the one? Are you the expected one, the prophesied one? Or should we be looking for another? That's what he asked him. Now, John's faith was being tested. He probably realized he never would get out of prison. Things weren't lining up. And momentarily, I believe that John stumbled. He had question marks about Christ. He never rejected Christ, but he needed reassurance, so he sent for a word. And you know, I'm not glad that John hit a low spot. I am not glad that John hit a low spot, but I am glad I'm not the only one who's hit a low spot. And I want to tell you something that Jesus replied to John in the best possible way. He said, look at all these signs. Look at all these wonders, all these healings. These were the Messiah's credentials. Now, there's a mystery in suffering. You ever think deep into this? I know some people don't think too far into it, and it doesn't pay to think too far into it all the time, but I was standing at a graveside of my cousin and my aunt, the boy's father, the man's mother, said to me, why did God take my son? Why did God take my son? She was hurting. She had a question. She didn't understand. And you know, Lord, why do you allow abuse to continue? A lot of us have asked that question. You know, the grace of God does not alleviate all suffering. I don't care what the televangelists are telling you, it's just not true. The grace of God does not alleviate all suffering on earth. Not everybody gets healed. Not everybody finds justice. Not everybody gets delivered. Not everybody has a happy ending to their life. Not every situation can be explained rationally. So can I encourage you tonight, stop acting and making up stuff like you're a public relations agent for the Godhead. You don't have to try to make God look good all the time. Because sometimes you don't understand, and there are no answers. There's no way to explain everything, and we shouldn't feel like we're obligated to do that. We can't make sense out of it all. Life can be hard. It can be perplexing, baffling, overwhelming, and painful. But when there are no answers, there's Jesus. And I'm telling you, sometimes we've got to come back to our faith and believe that regardless of what I see, think, feel, or any other kind of thing, I believe that God is good. Blessed is he who has not offended at me. You know, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His ways are past finding out. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're offended with Jesus because you've not been able to reconcile the things that have happened. Perhaps you've lost heart, lost faith, lost perspective. Oh, listen, being offended at God is a choice. But let me give you a third thing. Offended people can't see straight. Offended people can't see straight. Festering offenses can cause vision problems. Now, I believe that John was questioning a lot of stuff. I believe he was questioning his entire anointed history, his earthly ministry. He didn't anticipate imprisonment. The devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and the devil is tempting John in prison. And I think he was tempted to doubt Christ. Now, perhaps John was evaluating his life in light of circumstances. Nothing made sense. He was abandoned. He was isolated, forsaken. His life was in danger. The man of steel was in a place where he had never been before. His future was grim, and he asked an unthinkable question, are you Messiah, or should we look for another? I believe that John needed a word of confirmation. And I want to say tonight that taking up an offense can skew your vision, and multiple offenses can really distort your vision. Now, Jesus said, before you can help the other man get the speck, the splinter out of his eye, you better get the plank, the beam, out of your own eye. You know what a beam is? A beam consists of many specks of sawdust. Many, many specks. And throughout life, we accumulate many specks. And you can get enough specks to where they turn into a board. And when you got a board in your eye, I'm telling you, you're not seeing properly. You're just not seeing straight. Now, John had hit a low spot. How many here tonight would be honest and say, I've hit a few low spots in my journey along the way? Can anybody identify with this? Yeah, wow. Yeah, no Pollyannas in the house tonight. Wow, we got some real people here tonight, brother. We're going to have revival. I'm just telling you. Maybe you're in a low spot right now. Can I tell you it's common to man? Even John Baptist, life can be hard. Some people have chronic pain. Have you noticed how easy it is to hand out advice on suffering when you're not the one that's suffering? Boy, you can quote those verses, can't you? I can too. But I'll tell you what, when you've been through a few valleys, you don't have so many cliche answers. And we need to get rid of our cliche answers. Physical illness. A little 7-year-old granddaughter had some sort of a respiratory, asthmatic, viral infection, apparently in the hospital for 2 days, couldn't breathe. You know, when it comes down to something like that, we see how little control we really have over the larger issues. It kind of puts us in our place, does it not? Relational breakdowns. Some of you have suffered the tragedy of a broken home. Emotional problems. Somebody say, well, we're too blessed to be depressed. Well, yeah, but sometimes even John Baptist got depressed. Even the Apostle Paul despaired of life. Now, what about the death of a loved one? It's huge. It's huge. We know a lot of people that have lost their spouses due to COVID and other reasons this year. It's a valley. A financial setback. These things can be heavy. You know what Peter said? He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold all kinds of trials and temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, may be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You're in heaviness for a season. Can I just say to you tonight that temptations and trials are not permanent. Adversity is a season, and seasons change. Your heaviness will not last forever. Your grief is not permanent. A new day's coming. The sun's going to shine. Yes, you will laugh again, and God will heal your broken heart. And listen to me. When you're down, you hear all kinds of voices speaking all kinds of negative stuff into your heart. Voices of doubt. I'm talking about global doubt, fear, unbelief, accusation. Now listen, ladies, instead of listening to yourself, when you get to hearing those voices, start talking to yourself. Instead of listening to the trash coming out of your heart, start talking to yourself from the Word of God. You know, David talked to himself. He said, look, what? He said, soul, why are you so downcast? He said to himself, he said to his own soul, why are you in turmoil? What is wrong with you? It's not just crazy people that talk to themselves. We all talk to ourselves. And you better be saying the right stuff to yourself. And you know what David said? He said, I will yet praise him, for he is the health of my countenance. He said, I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I done messed up. I'm guilty of sin. But I'm going to praise God. He's the health of my countenance. Sometimes you got to talk yourself out of your pit, especially if you're the one to talk yourself into it. And you got to tell yourself the truth. Nobody else is going to tell you the truth. Very few people tell me the truth. Very few people will tell me what they really think. Very, very few. So, since nobody else is going to tell you what you need to hear, you better learn to tell yourself what you need to hear. And you need to tell yourself, this too shall pass. Nothing is as bad as it seems at first. That's the truth. Oh, I just want to share with you to encourage you tonight. I believe that John regained his perspective. He got what he needed. He found his equilibrium, and his sight was restored. But let's get to this point. How to get unoffended. If we've taken the bait of Satan and we become offended, how do we recover? Unoffended people are happy. Offended people are never happy. It's time to move from your painful experiences. It's time to get the plank out of your eye. It's time tonight for the wounds to heal. It's time to start the next chapter, and it's time to restore the joy of God's salvation. We've got to get out of our defeatism and our negativity. We have got to get out of our unbelief. Listen, the culture in America may be lost, but the kingdom of God is right on time, and everything's going to be all right. You better start identifying with the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of man if you want to be happy. I'm just telling you. You cut off the newscast in Jesus' name. Cast it out. Amen. Now listen. We got to deal with horizontal offenses. Horizontal offenses. Maybe you're in the prison of offense tonight. You've been stumbled by the actions, inactions, and reactions of other people. You've been hurt. You've been violated. You know, after the crucifixion, there were two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and boy, were they depressed. Man, the whole thing had gone down in flames. Jesus pulled up beside of them incognito. They didn't know who he was. And he said, boys, why are y'all so sad? That's a Southern Jewish lingo right there. Why are y'all so sad? And they said, have you heard what happened? And they rehearsed the whole thing. They thought Jesus was Messiah, right? Brother Dale, they thought he was Messiah. They thought he was coming to restore the kingdom. It didn't happen. And they rehearsed the whole sorry thing and how that Jesus, the anticipated Messiah, had been crucified. And after they poured out their complaints, Jesus began talking to them from the Old Testament about the things concerning himself. This was one of the greatest sermons in history. Jesus preaching on Jesus from the Old Testament scriptures. That's one sermon I would like to have heard. And Jesus then went on and on, and they got to where they were going, to the destination, and their eyes were opened. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. It is true. We get it now. How many are glad you're not the only spiritually retarded person on the planet? Amen. I mean, they were slow. And they caught on that, hey, it's true after all. This is Jesus. And Jesus disappeared out of their sight. And you know what they said to each other? They said, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way? You know what we need tonight? We need a little holy heartburn in the house of God. And we need to get over some of this moaning and groaning and depression and complaining and all this anxiety because of all the stuff that's going on. I'm just telling you, brother, if we got in touch with God and had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord Jesus and reckoned our old self dead but alive unto God through Christ, we might have some joy in our hearts this evening. I mean, you think it's about time for the Baptist to have a little joy in the house of God for a change? What is wrong with us? Dead as 4 o'clock, frozen, chosen. Look like you've been vaccinated with dill pickle juice. I mean, what in the world is wrong with us? You get a little holy heartburn, you get over some of that stuff. I like getting around people that enjoy the Lord. I really do. Self-inflicted wounds are the worst kind. You can get out of the prison of offense anytime you choose. And forgiveness is setting a person free and discovering one of them is you. You say, well, what's forgiveness? Releasing a debt. That's what it means. Giving. You know what forgiveness is? It's giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Okay, I was wrong. I'm giving up my right to retaliate. I'm giving up the right of revenge. It's the cancellation of a debt. Now, let me give you another good point. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a decision. Forgiveness is not a feeling. You know, some of us are emotional. And some of you are like my wife. She's a steady Eddie. Praise God. One of us has got some control about ourselves. But some people are like that. You know, they're an emotional flat line. And the rest of us, man, we're in outer space or in subterranean hell somewhere and seldom in the middle. It's just the way it is. But, you know, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a decision. And you don't have to feel like releasing a debt to verbally go ahead and make a transaction before God and your own heart. I'm just telling you. Now, you don't need an apology from your offender to grant them forgiveness. And if they're not asking for it, don't even tell them. You just work it out between you and God. I got to studying on forgiveness one time, and I got real uncomfortable. Like, real uncomfortable. And I lived in Montvale, Virginia. And if you'd asked me if I was bitter, I would have honestly said, well, no. But the truth is, I was full of offenses. I was full of bitternesses, but didn't even know it. And I went out in my backyard, my small backyard, under a skinny hickory tree, and I prayed a new way. You know what I said? I said, Lord, I've been angry at this brother who I told him something in confidence, and he broke my confidence, caused me a lot of grief, caused me a lot of heartache. I said, God, I've been angry at him. I've been mad at him. But, Lord, I'm forgiving him, and I'm not going to hold it against him anymore. I release that debt. Would you believe it took me 45 minutes to shred my you owe me list? The stuff I was holding stuff against people, it took me 45 minutes. But when I let those people out of prison, God let me out of my spiritual prison. I could worship, I could witness, I could enjoy God, I had a little peace. I didn't need Johnny Carson and pepperoni crackers at 1 o'clock in the morning. I could go to bed and get some rest. And you know something? You know something? Forgiveness is the only way to cancel human offenses. And some of us tonight, we need to rip up the you owe me list. But we not only have to deal with horizontal offenses, we've got to deal with vertical offense, being offended at God. I was talking to a church counselor one time. I said, how many church people do you think are angry or disappointed with God? Without hesitation, he said, over 50%. Over 50%. Not satisfied with the way God's running the situation. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. You know, John took his doubt straight to Jesus, and that's what we better do. Just go on to him and tell him. He already knows what's in your heart anyhow. And there's liberty in what I'm telling you. Now, blaming God is never good. But sometimes hard thoughts can come into our hearts about what God allows. Can anybody identify with what I just said? So we have these thoughts, these questions. What's going on? How can this be? Trying to serve God? And now look at this. Some things are God ordained, but all things are God allowed. Some things are God ordained, but all things are God allowed. And adversity, when it comes to that, God permits it and God limits it. There's no temptation, trial, or test taking you but such as is common to man. There's nothing happened to you that hadn't happened to a million other people. I don't want to disappoint you, but you're nothing out of the ordinary. It's common to man. And there's no temptation taking you or me but what is common to man, but God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. Now, Job could have been offended with God. He lost his home. He lost his herds. He lost his health. 10 children killed at one time. But you know what Job said? Sitting out on the ash heap, scraping his boils, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a guy. I can't wait to meet him. Job believed that God did all things well. What about Joseph? You know, hated by his family, sold into slavery. He went from the pit to the prison to the palace by the grace of God because he didn't take the bait of Satan, and no root of bitterness ever sprung up within his heart. What a guy. And I want to say this. All bitterness is ultimately traced back to God himself. Ultimately. All bitterness, if you go back far enough, it's against God himself. Now, John asked Jesus a difficult question. Are you the expected one? Are you Messiah? Or should we be looking for another? You know, most men and most women face periods of doubt and despondency. And Jesus sent reassuring words to John based upon Isaiah's prophecies. Now, I want you to notice a couple of these prophecies. In Isaiah 11, it speaks of the righteous judge, Christ, establishing the kingdom of righteousness, purging evil from the earth, ruling with rod of iron, and that's talking about the future reign of Christ. I want to say again, my understanding is all Israel was looking for the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. They wanted to be out from under their bondage to Rome. They wanted a political Messiah. And they became discouraged and depressed when their aspirations went up in flames. But I want to tell you, one day, according to Isaiah, the king will usher in his kingdom in power. It'll be in his time, not their time, not my time, not your time. He's coming, and no man knows the day or the hour, so don't buy those books that try to tell you when it's going to happen. Now, that was not the prophecy that Jesus sent to John. Here's the one he sent in Isaiah 35. Look at this text right here. Isaiah 35. He prophesies about the mercy and grace of a coming Savior. Notice what it says. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. That was what the prophecy in Isaiah 35 was about. It wasn't about the coming kingdom and a political Messiah. It was about the Savior who had come to set captives free. Now, John's disciples had witnessed the miracles of Jesus, and they went back and told John about all that was going on. Somebody got raised from the dead. And in that same hour, the Bible says, after John had sent his disciples to question Jesus, in the same hour, Jesus cured many of their infirmities, verse 21, plagues, evil spirits, many that were blind, he gave sight. And Jesus said, go your way and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lepers are cleansed, the lame are walking, and the dead are being raised, and the poor are having the gospel preached unto them. Now listen. This is not what John expected to hear. This is not what he expected to hear. I believe he wanted to hear about armies amassing. I believe he wanted to hear about Rome being judged, about the wicked rulers being condemned. He'd already put it on Herod. Nobody else had the guts, so he put it on him. And he wanted to hear about the kingdom being restored to Israel. But Jesus was sending a message that the conquering king was indeed going to come at a later time. But he was telling John, the kingdom of God is among you and it's inside of you. And I want to say that John may have had a faltering moment. He may have had a faltering moment when he sent that question to Christ. But Jesus sent eyewitness accounts of prophecy being fulfilled. And I believe that Jesus gave John the confirmation and affirmation that he needed. I believe he heard exactly what he needed to hear. And he died a martyr's death. And I believe that old John died in faith, assured that Jesus was the Messiah. Happy is he who is not offended in me. When life goes south, when the inexplicable happens, when the unthinkable takes place, when the unbelievable things that go on, I'm telling you, we better listen to this word right here. Happy is he who is not offended in me. And instead of blaming God all the time, it's high time some people started blaming the devil, because he's got a lot to do with stuff that goes on that goes wrong. I know it's allowed, but God's not the author of evil. I don't believe that God hardwires people to rape people, molest people, abort people, and kill people. I just don't believe that. I believe that sin is a choice, and if I go off into deep sin, it's because I chose to. It's not because God preordained me to be that way. You talk about wrong thoughts toward God. Well, let's deal tonight with the offenses. Let's prepare the way of the Lord. Let's make some crooked ways straight. Let's purify our hearts from unforgiveness. How are we going to do that? Well, number one, choose to release the debts you're holding against other people. Everybody here has been wronged 1,000 times. Okay? Choose to release the debts. Forgive your offenders. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a decision. If you've taken the bait and become offended, then put your bitterness under the blood of Jesus. And I'm telling you, he can cleanse you from that and all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice to let go of the debt and quit holding offenses against people. But number two, we need to be honest if we're angry with God over the way he's been handling stuff. Sometimes you need to have a private conversation with God. You need to be honest with God. You need to be real with God. You need to just tell God the truth. He already knows it anyhow. Just tell him what you're thinking. Tell him what you're feeling. Ask him questions inquisitively. It's okay. You can pour out your heart. You can be honest with God. And listen to this. You can be honest with yourself. You need to learn just to just be real. Don't worry about what people are thinking about you. They're not thinking about you anyhow. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Talk to God about this stuff. The unoffended are happy, but the offended are never happy. And dealing with offenses is the only path to a happy, fulfilled life. Tonight, some of us need to get out of the prison of offense. Because it's been stewing and steaming and just going on, and we've been turning it over and we've been rethinking and regurgitating and all this kind of stuff. Tonight, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Can anybody say this resonates with your soul tonight, this matter of offense? How many tonight have been living in a prison of offense because of what people have done or haven't done or how they reacted? And you'd like to get out of that prison tonight because you've taken the bait of Satan, but you want out and you want freedom in your heart. Would you lift your hand tonight if God's talked to your heart? Put them up way high, all over the building. Oh, man. I know these waters run deep. I know these things hurt. I know these things are painful. But listen, emptying all that mess out at the foot of Calvary will set your soul free. And it's okay to be honest with God. Just tell him the real stuff. You got abused? That's not your fault. And don't let the devil convince you that you were the victim. You weren't the perpetrator, for crying out loud. I mean, don't listen to all this kind of stuff that's coming in. So we need to deal with releasing the people who have offended us. But second tonight, anybody here tonight kind of been agitated with the way the Lord's been handling some stuff and you've taken up an offense with Jesus? Anybody here tonight in that condition and you want to get free? I'm telling you, you can have a private conversation with God and get your soul liberated tonight. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Happy is the person who's not offended in me. Paul said, I'm going to exercise myself to have a conscience clear, void of offense toward God and toward man. I'm going to deal with these offenses. I'm going to keep my conscience clear. I want my soul to be pure. I don't want to be agitated, irritated, bothered, offended, angry all the time. I'm going to work at keeping a conscience clear toward God and toward man. Blessed, happy is she, is he who is not offended in me. Let's talk to the Lord. Would you stand to your feet and bow your heads this evening? Now, somewhere tonight, a bunch of us need to sort this out in the presence of God. We need to release the debts we've been holding against people who have hurt us, offended us, wronged us, violated us. We need to release the debt. We need to tear up the you owe me list. We need to clear those debts out and forgive them and release those debts. Would you act on that this evening? And some of us tonight, we need to talk to the Lord from the bottom of our hearts because we are so pained that we've taken up an offense against the Almighty. I believe God wants to help us tonight. Dan, just play something softly, just a verse here tonight. Lord, would you help captives right now to be set free? Would you allow people to get out of the prison of offense? And tonight, may forgivenesses be granted and forgivenesses sought, and may offenses be reconciled and resolved in the cross of Christ. Have your way in every heart tonight, Lord. Let this be a momentous night when victories are won and captives are set free.